Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. And Father, just like yesterday, I pray this morning that you would work in such a way in this place at this time on what you have declared as holy ground, as this place, this sanctuary, has been dedicated to you as a place of worship, a place of feeding on the Lamb, the Word of God, that you would work in that way that people will say, I had an encounter with God today. God really spoke to me. God really moved my heart. God really cut through some darkness, maybe. But whatever the case might be, I pray, Father, that people walk away today saying, that was great because I met with Jesus. Now, Father, I just pray that you carry this message, present this message, help this message, Father, to be as relative and clear and applicable to our lives today, that we might grab hold of it, live it, and proclaim our faith and you, our love for you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is God's Delivery Service. And so I want to pose to you this morning a question, if I may. And the question is, what would happen if we responded to life's difficult situations and problems based on the knowledge of the abilities of God? Now, you and I know that God can do anything he wants. Nothing's impossible with God. And yes, he's got the answer to, can he pick up a rock heavier than he can pick up? You know, that's just men's foolishness. God is all powerful, and he can do what he wants, regardless of whether the dilemma is something that we can't resolve or not. And so if you were to face a problem or difficulty in your life that was bigger than you are, you had no control over, and you face that, and you look at that, and you say, I'm resolving to let God take care of it. I'm resolving to trust in God. I'm resolving to trust in God's answer. Because what happens when we face difficulties and problems sometimes? We analyze in our own minds very quickly what the best solution is. In fact, we might even go to God and say, God, now I'm coming to you and I see this situation and I'm asking you to take care of it this way. And because I have faith in what I'm asking you, then I expect you to do what I ask. Anybody catch the problem with that? We can't force God's hand. We can't declare and say, okay, I've done this formula that I've prayed for it, and I've presented it, I've told you what the outcome is that I want, and then by faith I've accepted that you've heard that, and so by faith I'm accepting you're going to do that. But we have to resolve that with the problems and difficulties that we face, that we as children of God, believers in Christ, simply turn to God and say, God, I'm giving it over to you, and I'm trusting you to take care of it your way, but I know you're going to take care of it. And I'm going to be faithful to you. So what would happen if we responded to life's difficult situations or problems based on the knowledge of the abilities of God? There's comfort in knowing that God has the ability to take care of anything, especially those things that are beyond our control. And so I want to look at a biblical example, a couple biblical. I'm going to look at some current examples as well today. But if you look at Daniel chapter 3, we have the story of Nebuchadnezzar raising up this huge golden statue of himself. He's called all the people of the lands to come and to gather around. He's brought this humongous symphony orchestra to play music. And he's commanded that at the sound of the orchestra playing music, that everybody bow down and worship this idol of himself. And we know the story. We know that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, those are the Babylonian names, refused to bow down. And so I want to read this passage of Scripture in Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? I believe the gold image was 90 feet. I may be wrong, but I believe it was 90 feet high, a gold image of himself. And Nebuchadnezzar's asking, is it true that you're refusing to bow down and worship it? Verse 15, now if you are ready at the time to hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony of all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. He's saying, look, okay, I understand you're not willing to do this. I'm giving you another opportunity. And if you do that, that's good. If you bow down and worship this image, right? He said, that's good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Two things I want to look at there. One is, I thought, here's the celebration. They want to go ahead and worship this idol of Nebuchadnezzar. I said, where did the furnace come from? Did they plan to have it there for these guys? No, but they did have to melt the gold. They did have to melt what was needed to construct this idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And so they're at the place that this idol was actually constructed. And therefore we have the furnace that melted the metals that were needed to build it. But the other thing is that Nebuchadnezzar, in his arrogance, because it is arrogance to build a statue of yourself and tell your people to worship it, is it not? And so in his arrogance, he says, and to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't bow down, and then we'll see if your God does anything about it. Is your God really able to do that? And he's really essentially saying, your God can't deliver you. Now, you and I need to know that when we face difficult and challenging problems in our lives, God can deliver us. But the caution flag is this: we cannot mandate to God how he delivers us. We have to be willing to accept the way God delivers us, and oftentimes God delivers us out of those challenging problems in ways that we did not expect. But we have to trust him with those things. And so in verse 16 it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, we're not flailing here. We're not in a great confused state here. We're not trying to figure out what are we going to do. We're going to do this or that. The issue is already secure and stable. Our decision is to serve our God, the Lord Jehovah. And we are not going to turn our backs on him. And so therefore, here's the real, no pun in words intended, killer. They didn't care if they got killed. They didn't matter if that was the result. They didn't care if that's what God's purpose was. They didn't care if they would be burnt up in an instant, being thrown into that furnace. Now, is that not a solid, absolute, committed heart to God? Yeah, in fact, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. But you know, we have people today around the world, churches are slaughtered, Christians are slaughtered. Christians that people that come to receive Christ and receive Christ have had to leave their whole families, their whole communities because they put their faith in Jesus. Tremendous sacrifice, tremendous commitment. Tremendous resolve to say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do and trust him with the outcome. And that's exactly what happened here. So in verse 17, it says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. What a resolve. Laid it out flat and clean and clear to the king. Do what you want. We're trusting God and we're depend on him to deliver us his way. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed and relied on God's love, wisdom, and abilities to take care of them the best way possible. In their case, he chose to personally deliver them. Question. Could God deliver them in different ways? Yeah. He could have delivered them to life, said you could still live, or he delivered them to life by saying you're coming with me. Right? And either way is a win-win situation, even though in the human flesh we don't think that way. We don't want to die. We don't want to have pain. All those types of things. As we were to read that passage of Scripture further, the amazing part about that is that when they were bound with ropes and thrown into the furnace, there's a great door on the side, there's a great door on the top of this furnace, that the soldiers that threw them in died from the impact of the heat itself. And I love the imagery here. They are thrown into the furnace, and the king sees them, and they're dancing in the fire. And the king sees a fourth person, and it's the Son of God, Jesus, dancing with him. What is that example to you and I? Sometimes God will call us to be in a position in him that requires us not just to take the heat, but to be in the heat. And if we're willing to keep our faith on God and resolve to trust him and whatever he chooses to do, we can experience the wonder of Jesus dancing with us through the difficulty, through the challenge, through the overwhelming, uncontrolled situation that we're facing. We can have the assurance that God is right here with me, lifting my heart, carrying me through, even though everything around me is devastating. That's pretty cool. I love that. Absolutely love that. But how do we get to that? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego could have said, "No way, King, we're bowed down." And you and I could say, "No way, God, this is where I draw the line. I'm not following you into that." But if we resolve to say, "I'm yours, I'm no longer myself, I will follow you." And even though it scares us to death what the probabilities of those could be in our life, because we don't know what the future holds in our own personal lives, just to love Jesus and hold on to him and let him walk us through whatever and resolve whatever. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't the only ones we can read about in the Bible that have faced life or death situations in which they had to rely on God to take care of his way. Let's look at the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. This is the Apostle Paul again. He writes, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." You know, somehow I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego referring to them again as being calm, collected, and joyful before King Nebuchadnezzar. And then I go, well, you know what? They're human beings. And the unexpected of being thrown in that furnace must have had some anxiety, I would think at least. And then we look at Paul and the disciples with Paul saying, we're in such a despairing situation that's out of our control. It's a burden on our heart and our spirit that's beyond comparable measure, a weight so big that we just can't contain it. It's above all strength, and we're even despairing of our own lives. We're facing the reality that we, in all probability, are going to be killed here. And it's a great anxiety. And verse 9 says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We already told ourselves we are dead men. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. What was their resolve? I see that the situation is not good. In fact, we're probably going to be killed here. But we have resolved to trust in God. Why? Because he raises the dead. The hope and the assurance that God will never leave us nor forsake us. The hope and assurance that as we live life here with Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that when we die, we're going to continue living in that personal life with Jesus, but in a better way, without a sinful nature. No more struggle that way, praise God. And so they had already resolved that. And verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Times past we have faced dangerous persecutions and even the probability of death, and God delivered us. So we're going to trust God again here. Isn't it interesting? They had all these past situations that they had to deal with, but in the midst of the current one, they still had a burden and anxiety about the situation. Even though they had the record of seeing God deliver them time again in the past. So it tells us that each situation that we face is circumstantial, that we have to be willing to rely on God to get through. Because God can deliver us by His ability. And let me just say this. When we're in a situation where we can't do it ourselves, we're no longer in control, and we have to depend upon God to deliver us from that or through it, it is the greatest joy and blessing when we see God's hand do it. Because we've laid ourselves before Him, we've focused on Him, we're depending on Him, and as He does it, we go, there's no way I could have done it. That's all to the glory of Jesus. And man, it is awesome. He danced in the furnace with them and delivered them. In fact, when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego came out, there was not even a scent of smoke on their clothing. And Paul and the apostles here, our disciples that were with him here, are saying, we're looking to God to deliver us again. And so that's a real level of commitment to God, isn't it? But it's a commitment to God that is desperately needed in our society and in our world today. If every Christian had the commitment in the heart, say, I'm going to live for God even if I'm killed for God. I'm going to live for God even if injustice comes my way. I'm going to live for God through the circumstances that are bigger than I am. I am going to be resolved to be dedicated to follow God no matter what the end result is. That type of commitment is what's needed in the world today, and Kalinga and all around amongst His children as believers in Christ. We need to believe that God can deliver us too. And we got to have faith in God. God, You can deliver us from the situation we're in. God, You're in control. God, You have all power. Here's one. God, You really do love me, even though I don't understand why You're allowing this to happen. The question is, will we continue to love God in the midst of it? Because the proof of loving God is faithful obedience. And that's what we need to do. So we need to believe that God can deliver us too. We just need to understand that His idea of delivery may be what? Different than our own idea of delivery. We can't tell God how to deliver us. Well, we can, but it's not the right thing to do. We have to trust that God will deliver us His way. And that's another resolve to surrender to the will and to the power of God. And so as Christians, we face relative challenges and consequences for standing up for God, don't we? That's another way of looking at it. We're going to take the heat. We're going to have the problems because we stand for Jesus. And if we're willing to stand for Jesus, we can expect the heat because Jesus said, if they hated me, what? They're going to hate you also. The more we stand, the more we're light, the more we will see the challenges, even the spiritual warfare. And God will deliver us even through the spiritual warfare as well. So I want to look at a few current examples. Not just Daniel and the apostles, and some will think about, well, that's historical and it's true, but let's look at some current, and some of these you're very familiar with. In February of 2016, here's the red flag, here's the thing that will catch, hopefully, your memory bank. A bakery owned by a Christian family in Longview, Texas, was deluged with threats and hate mail because they declined to bake a cake for a gay wedding. Right? And after that became public on the news, there were irate attacks against them. Vulgar, derogatory. All sorts of things came against them. And so Eddie and David DeLome, who owned the bake shop, had actual threats against their business and their family because they took a stand for God. They said, this is not right. This is our business, and we're not going to do it. And they took heat from everywhere. But guess who's with them? Jesus. Guess who's blessing them for standing on the truth? Jesus. Guess who will protect them? Jesus. Guess what the outcome is? Only Jesus knows. They can't tell God. This is, they can tell Him. God, make it all go away and put life back the way it was and never be the same again. But help us to be faithful to You so we can be stronger. Here's another example. In December 2015 in Texas, more than 50 students protested at Santa Rosa High School because one of the math teachers started talking about God in the classroom. Steve was just saying this morning, we can mathematically calculate that there is God. I'd love to see that equation. But you cannot mathematically say that there isn't God, because the statistics say that not believing in God and seeing creation is something that is impossible. And so this math teacher spoke about God, and the heat came on the firearm, and the students protested about that. But the position of the school was that the school policy was that instructors were prohibited from talking about God or religion in their classrooms. So this Christian man took a chance and stood up for God in his classroom for whatever reason that it came up, but God called him to stand. Did he take the heat? He lost his job? Is Jesus with him? Does Jesus have a plan? Does Jesus have a resolve? Does Jesus have an outcome that he wants to work in his life? Absolutely. Do you think that this testimony affects not only us but other people when we see people stand with power and courage? God has a reason for it, even beyond our comprehension. We don't see how our faith and our lives touch other people. We really don't. We don't realize it. And here's another one. In 2014, according to the Washington Post, politically minded ministers were disobeying federal tax law by preaching on politics from the pulpit. And so the Washington Post requested of the IRS that the IRS punish them, which they did not, punishing them by taking their tax exemption away from the church. And so here we have a situation where pastors were led to stand up on a political issue, which is against the law, although historically that's very, very, very historical through the church. And the result was, the Washington Post said, persecute them. And they were disgusted that the IRS did not. So here we have these situations where we have to stand for God if we're going to follow God, and we're going to have to take the heat if we're expected to take the heat. And it's not easy, and we don't have the strength of our own, but we do have the strength of God that empowers us. We have the strength of Jesus who has enabled us. We have God who lives in our heart through faith in Christ his Son. And because of that, we can have the ability to stand with courage and in power and in confidence and trust the outcome of the situation in God's hands. So, what do we do? First, stand for God no matter what the threat. That's a decision of resolve in our own life. I'm going to stand for God no matter what the threat. Easy said, hard to do, but possible through Christ. Believe what we learn about God, his character, wisdom, love, and abilities from the Bible. It is essential that you and I believe God. God's ability is far above our own. God's capability to work through things that are out of our hands are there. It is a reality that God's abilities are bigger than yours and mine. We know that. So believe it by applying it. So God, I'm going to trust you to take care of this. Live by God's standards. Can't pick and choose what God's word says. I'm saying, oh, I like this, I don't like this. We have to make a resolve. I'm going to live by what God says in his word. Be faithful and courageous when our commitment to God is challenged. Don't shrink back, is what the scripture talks about. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love doing this. The snails would come out on the sidewalks, and first thing I hit was that bottle of salt. Let's go watch this. It's so cool. They're this long. Look at that. We're not to shrink back when we're challenged, are we? God doesn't want that. We're not to melt in the midst of challenge. We're to stay strong by faith in Christ. But that was fun. I'd do it again. Anyways, always be a bold witness. We talked about that last week. You have to be set apart, sanctified by God, set apart by God, to live for God. reaching out for His purposes and goals, what He laid hold of our lives for, in order for us to be a bold witness for Jesus. In other words, we have to resolve that I'm going to be the person God wants me to be, following what His plan is for me, and I am going to stand for God when I'm challenged. And when the spirit, the unholy spirit, spiritual warfare steps in and says, you don't have the strength, you're weak, you're terrified, you're afraid, and you can't do that, what we need to do is combat that and say, I am strong, I am empowered, I am able, not because of me, but because of Jesus who has already equipped me. Get out of my face. But it's a resolve. We have to be there. We have to do that. So it took great courage for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand for God in the midst of adversity. So, godly courage comes from trusting God's ability. Godly courage comes from trusting God's ability. God, they knew that God could deliver them from the flames of death. They also knew that God could deliver them through death. And we have to be willing to trust God in that. Final example. Felix Manz, he was a leader of the Swiss Anabaptists in the early 1500s. He believed that you need to be baptized after you put your faith in Jesus. It was Anabaptist. It was against the sprinkling of infants because infants don't know what's going on. Baptism, after your faith, you know what you're doing. You're laying down your life for God. So, Felix Manz lived as a leader of the Swiss Anabaptists in the early 1500s. And, of course, he didn't believe that it was scriptural to be for infant baptism. It had to come after your faith in Christ. The Zurich Council ordered that anyone found rebaptizing would be drowned. You will not do this. You will be drowned until you're dead. So he was found, he had baptized somebody. Right after the baptism, they came and arrested him. They took him in a boat and they bound him up a weird way, hands and feet and a stick between his knees and his arms and bound him up in a knot. His mother was on the seashore saying, keep faithful to Jesus. Can you imagine being a mom watching your kid out there knowing what's going to happen? And as they pushed him, just before they pushed him over the boat, he was singing this song. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commit my spirit. Not just a quote from the cross, but it was a song that he was singing. And he plopped in the river like a rock and passed away. He stood firm for what he believed to be true biblically. Biblically. And his testimony as a martyr has undoubtedly reached many, many, many people. He was not delivered miraculously. He could have said, God, I'm bound up here. I've seen a lot of controversy. I've seen a lot of persecution. And I know you can untie these knots. I know you can melt them away. And I know that I don't have to die here. And this is how I think you ought to do it. Show these guys that you're powerful. He resolved to trust God as he sang and went down. That's real committed faith in Jesus. And so he wasn't delivered as we thought, but he was delivered. His deliverance was even much better. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We don't know how great it is in heaven, but I tell you what, it's far greater than here. Far greater. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We need to understand that no matter how hard our suffering is here, in particular for standing up for Jesus, it does not compare to the glory that God has in store for us. Doesn't compare. In fact, I believe that when we're there, we're going to look at our life here and say, I wish I would have been more there for God's glory here. If you follow what I'm saying. And so, at the beginning of this message, I posed the question, what would happen if we responded to life's difficult situations or problems based on the knowledge of the abilities of God? The answer is this, that we would be able to stand courageously bold in life's most difficult and challenging circumstances. courageously bold in life's most difficult challenges and circumstances. So, we would stand and wait for his delivery service, wouldn't we? Lord, how are you going to deliver me through this? I will stand and wait on you. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for the truth of your word, the courage and the faith of so many Christians, Father. Help us to be men and women, children of God, that you want us to be, that stand boldly and courageously for you. And Father, as it sounds so noble to do so, the reality may be that we're called to do so, and we are. And when those challenges face us, Father, let us shine brightly for you. Now, Father, if there's someone here today that needs a personal prayer time, they come up and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me for this. Or, Pastor, I really want to give my life over to Jesus. I want him to resolve this difficult challenge and circumstance in my life that I can't handle, I can't get through. Or, Lord, I just want you to touch my life, that I stand and resolve in my heart to stand for you. Bless it, Father. Bless our lives. Help us to love you more, to seek you out, to know your will, and to be bold in you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.